Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Luke 13, 10 to 17. The Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. My theme for reflection is when God straightens what life has bent. When God straightens what life has bent. A friend once joked that you could tell a lot about life just by looking at people's posture. Children stand straight with wonder. Teenagers slouch with attitude. Adults bend under responsibility, and by the time we grow old, we are stooped with stories. It is a funny observation, but painfully true. Life has a way of bending us, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But in Luke 13, Jesus meets a woman who has been bent for nearly 2 decades, not just by illness, but by everything life has thrown her way. And in one moment of compassion, God does what no human strength could do. He straightens what life has bent. Dr. Luke sets the scene in a synagogue on the Sabbath. A woman enters, stooped, weary, bent double for 18 years. Her body has become a metaphor for her life, pressed down by unseen weight, crushed by years of pain and the quiet cruelty of being overlooked. In her culture, her condition was not just physical, it carried moral and spiritual stigma. People assumed she must have sinned or been cursed. The text calls it a spirit of infirmity, and that's exactly what it was. Not just a sickness of the spine, but a sickness of the spirit, of being bent under judgment, shame, and exclusion. Jesus Christ sees her. That is the turning point. She does not call out to him, he calls out to her. He interrupts his own teaching to say, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." And with a touch, she was straightened up. The Greek literally makes God the subject. She was straightened by God. Luke wants us to see that divine agency is at work here. God himself acts through Christ to restore what was twisted, to lift what has been bent. But as quickly as she stands tall, resistance rises. The synagogue leader, more indignant than inspired, rebukes Jesus, not directly, but through the crowd. "There are 6 days for work," he says. "Come to be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." His problem is not the miracle, it is the timing. He has so domesticated holiness that he can't recognize it when it breaks his schedule. Jesus answers with a piercing logic. "You untie your ox or donkey on the Sabbath so it can drink. Shouldn't this daughter of Abraham be untied from her bondage too?" He reframes the Sabbath not as restriction, but as liberation, not as prohibition, but as participation in God's redemptive rhythm. As Miroslav Volf writes, God's work of creation ends in rest because the world's goal is not endless production, but communion. That is the deep meaning here. The Sabbath is not about stopping for its own sake. It is about entering communion with the God who frees. When Jesus heals this woman, he is not breaking the Sabbath law, he is fulfilling it. He is showing that true Sabbath is not about keeping people in their place, but about restoring them to their purpose. And what does this mean for us today? Many of us are like that woman, bent over by invisible burdens. Some are stooped under the weight of financial pressure or chronic anxiety. Others carry the strain of broken relationships or the exhaustion of caring for others while neglecting themselves. Some have been bent low by shame. The shame of a failure, a secret, a voice that keeps saying, "You will never stand straight again." And perhaps, like the synagogue leader, some of us are so rigid in our routines, so proud of our piety that we can no longer rejoice when God interrupts our order with mercy. The gospel calls us to both receive and reflect Christ's liberating touch. To those bent by life, Christ says, "Stand up." To those watching from the sidelines, he says, "Make room." And to those of us who are still guarding our Sabbaths with suspicion, he reminds us that God's rest always makes the broken whole. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, what spirit of infirmity has been bending your life? Fear, guilt, resentment, busyness, or unbelief? Number two, how can you be an agent of Sabbath healing for someone else, someone who needs to be seen, touched, and restored to dignity? Now, our practical exercise for the day. Take a few minutes today to stand in silence before God, literally. Feel the weight of your shoulders and then breathe deeply as you pray. "Lord, strengthen me by your grace." As you rise, commit to helping one person this week stand a little taller through forgiveness, encouragement, or an act of compassion. Gracious Redeemer, you see us when we are bowed down by the burdens of life. You speak freedom into our weariness and call us to stand tall in your mercy. Straighten what has grown crooked in our hearts. Loosen what binds our joy and teach us to use our strength to lift others. May every Sabbath moment in our lives be a sign of your restoring grace. Through Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.